I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Mint Mobile. Do you say data or data? At my house, yeah, we say both, because I say data more, but then obviously the Star Trek character is Data. And for the longest time, you may have thought paying a fortune on your monthly data plan was just normal, but Mint Mobile's premium wireless plan starts at just $15 a month. Our favorite Mint Mobile subscriber and Vote Save America bon vivant, Nina, ditch her old plan with one of the big wireless providers. She says the service and data speeds are top-notch, and she's saving a ton of money on her bill. Say bye-bye to overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you. All plans come with high-speed data or data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan to bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts, or start a new life with new contacts. Ditch overpriced wireless and get 3 months of premium wireless service from Mint Mobile for $15 a month. You know when you get a text from a number you don't recognize, but you know it should be in your phone, and you have to like delicately say, well, who is this? And then you'll text somebody, and you're like, and then they're like a little bit butthurt about it. That's what Robbie Hoffman talked about in Love or Leave It. And then, but sometimes, you know, I just texted someone today and they responded, Sean, and it made me feel like a tiny little bug.
I just feel so small. I just don't respond to those numbers.
But it's sometimes you'll
like,
get
hey,
it.
Hey man, like, are you around? And I'm like,
No, that I won't. I'm not around. Shop data plans at mintmobile.com/loveit. That's mintmobile.com/loveit. No matter how you say it, don't overpay for it. Data, that is. Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month 5 gigabyte plan required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customer offer for first 3 months only, then full price plan options available, taxes and fees extra. See Mint Mobile for details. Hello, Washington, D.C. Great to be back. We got our asses handed to us. Well, we blew it.
You blew it!
Welcome to Love It or Leave It, live at the Lincoln Theater, our nation's capital. 8 years ago. 8 years ago. We did our first big live show on the road here at the Lincoln Theater. Was anybody here for that show? Oh, I actually think the fewer the better, in a sense. And I'll say to you what I said 8 years ago. It is great to be back in D.C. for 3 days. We've got a great show for you tonight. Congressman Ro Khanna is here to talk about democracy and the speech he gave about his fellow Yale Law School alum, J.D. Vance. Jen Psaki and Eugene Daniels are here to talk about softballs and hard truths. And if you are a federal worker, past or present, we'll be calling on you for some help later in the show, and then we'll wrap it all up with a spin of the wheel. But first,
Let's get into it. What a week. Even though Trump and his allies are more radical and prepared this time, even though the Republican Party is now fully captured by MAGA, even though this is our most dangerous moment in American politics in our lifetimes, there is a truth about Trump that has offered some measure of protection, true back in 2017, true today, and it is this. The kind of people who are eager to work for Donald Trump are fucking evil morons. And it is difficult to run any sort of operation when every person around the table is either stupid, vile, or both. Because you can't trust your colleagues, and your colleagues can't trust you. You're at the table. You're terrible. Which is why it was another week of widespread chaos in the Trump administration, with the mayhem epicenter located right where you'd want it to be, the Defense Department. It's 10 a.m. somewhere, said Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth. Handshaking, pouring a second cup of coffee. The New York Times reported that Hegseth had shared the same Yemen attack plans in another Signal group chat that included his brother, his personal lawyer, and his wife. You fucking liberals. If he cheats on his wife, bad press. If he lovingly texts his wife classified strike details, bad press. The man can't win. Hegseth's brother and lawyer both have jobs at the Pentagon, but have no need to know the flight schedules for forthcoming strikes on the Houthis. No need other than friendship. Name one other topic straight men can text each other about. You can't. Asked about the story at the White House Easter egg roll sponsored by Meta, YouTube, and Amazon. Hegseth lashed out at the media, of course.
You know, what a big surprise that a bunch of, a few leakers get fired and suddenly a bunch of hit pieces come out from the same media that peddled the Russia hoax, won't give back their Pulitzers. They got Pulitzers for a bunch of lies. See, this is what the media does. They take anonymous sources from disgruntled former employees, and then they try to slash and burn people and ruin their reputations. Not gonna work with me.
All right. Pete Hegseth, yeah, you can't use this second example of mishandling classified information to detract from my sterling reputation as a twice-divorced, abusive, hard-drinking weekend Fox News anchor who ran two veterans organizations into the ground. You won't take my name.
Because it is my name! Because I cannot have another in my life!
Daniel Day-Lewis in The Crucible. All right. The Pentagon's former chief spokesman, John Ulliott, who quit last weekend and is not anonymous, wrote in a Sunday Politico op-ed that under his self-described friend, Pete Hegseth, friends like these, the Pentagon had seen a month of total chaos, suggesting Trump replaced this bizarro Secretary Pete, and fast. Earlier this week, Politico also published a report on the bitter feuds that have quickly formed within Hegseth's inner circle. There's one specific anecdote I'd like to share from that piece. Apparently, while at a high-level meeting, This is real and genuine reporting. Joe Casper, Hegseth's outgoing chief of staff, asked his fellow attendees, can I just tell everyone around this table that I just took an enormous shit right before coming in here? And the stall was fresh out of Pentagon papers. You catch my meaning. This is real. According to one of the two people who confirmed the story to Politico, people were like, what? This is a business meeting. But how else are you supposed to start a meeting in the situation room? I want you to know something. I cut that joke. And then the author of that joke said, what happened in the situation room? And I said, I cut it. And she said, I think you should put it back in. And I did on her behalf. That writer, Sarah Lazarus, her mother is in this audience. And I hope you're feeling proud. Anyway, This would be a crazy energy for me to bring to a work meeting, and my meetings are about whether Deborah Messing would be down to play a game called Would You Fuck This Jewish Holiday? Look, we all want to tell our colleagues about our poops. But we show restraint. We keep it profesh. You save that for the one friend. The friend with whom you talk about your poops. And there's two kinds of people in this audience. People who know what I'm talking about. And fucking Puritan freaks. Applaud if you have that friend. Applaud if you never talk about your poops. Yeah. Applaud if you're a fucking liar. Casper reportedly denied the story about his big work dump, claiming it was a joke taken out of context. Yeah, man, totally. It's a real smear campaign. Also, I'm sorry to say, according to military experts, whoever denied it, in fact, supplied it. White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt, no relation, defended Hegseth.
The president stands strongly behind Secretary Hegseth, who is doing a phenomenal job leading the Pentagon. And this is what happens when the entire Pentagon is working against you and working against the monumental change that you are trying to implement.
Sorry, you may not have been following that argument. The entire military hates him. And that's good. The entire Pentagon is against him. Complimentary. But the entire Pentagon is against him. Derogatory. How is that an argument for him? No, you don't understand. The entire fucking Pentagon hates the Secretary of Defense, which is good. Yeah, we like it. The story renewed calls for Hegseth to be fired from Democrats and, as of this recording, one lone House Republican. Hegseth, seemingly growing desperate and paranoid, said he'd investigate leaks on Fox and Friends.
When that evidence is gathered sufficiently, and this has all happened very quickly, it will be handed over to DOJ, and those people will be prosecuted if necessary.
The public threats against my subordinates will continue until morale improves. And speaking of public threats, on Thursday, Trump announced that he would sit down for an interview with journalists, including Signal group chat member Jeffrey Goldberg. Actually, Jeff was one of the first guests on this show when we came to DC 8 years ago. Feeling nostalgic. What is it like to be in one awful moment nostalgic for a previous, slightly less awful moment? Germans probably have a word for it. Jeffrey Goldberg is either having the professional year of his life or this is how they lure him onto the plane to El Salvador. Either way, good luck, Jeff. Wrote Trump on True Social, later today, I will be meeting with, of all people, Jeffrey Goldberg, the editor of The Atlantic and the person responsible for many fictional stories about me, including the made-up hoax on Suckers and Losers and Signalgate, something he was somewhat more successful with. Fuck, that's funny. That's funny. What an incredible way to introduce someone. Imagine I say, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome my next guest, Ro Khanna, of all people. It's just a funny and insulting way to welcome someone. For those of you who don't remember, back in 2020, Goldberg wrote the story reporting that Trump called Americans who died at war suckers and losers, which is crazy, because that just doesn't sound like him. Trump continued, I am doing this interview out of curiosity and as a competition with myself, just to see if it's possible for The Atlantic to be truthful. What a beautiful message. We are all only in competition with ourselves. As Trump often says, comparison is the thief of joy. So wise. Our big wise boy. The literal and figurative shit-stirring hasn't been contained to the Pentagon. Ketamine cautionary tale, Elon Musk, and history's worst gay Treasury Secretary, Scott Bessent, were reportedly shouting at each other about IRS leadership in the West Wing last week. I mean, whatever. Wake me up when Elon bites someone. That's what I need to hear now. But what pushed genteel homosexual Scott Bessent over the edge? Sources told Axios it's because he, quote, can't stand Musk, and that while he's largely kept his cool, he has his limits and he can roar. God, Katy Perry, not now. She can't read the room anymore. Musk has said he'll be stepping back from Doge, and when asked about Musk on Wednesday, Trump spoke of his accomplishments in the past tense.
But he's a brilliant guy, and he was a tremendous help, both in the campaign and in what he's done with Doge.
One day you're doing the Nazi salute, the next day you're getting the Nazi boot. It is, it's a tough town. Tough town, that's politics. It makes sense that there's tension, conflicting, and confusing White House messages have caused turmoil and panic in global markets. Trump said that the U.S. and China were actively negotiating a trade deal, but Scott Bessent apparently told a group of reporters on Thursday morning that China and the U.S. are not even speaking yet. We're not even in the talking stage. We're never going to fuck at this rate. And after the CEOs of Target, Walmart, and Home Depot, the gay, straight, and lesbian of big box retailers... privately warned Trump that his tariffs could disrupt supply chains and leave store shelves bare. The president said Tuesday that he'd be willing to substantially bring down his 145% tariff on China. So now the waiting game with China continues. Famously a country you want to try to wait out. Look, we have leverage, China has leverage, we have power, China has power, but you can't wait them out. Have you read a book? Have you seen how long their dynasties are? We have many strengths as a country, but patience and discipline are not high on the list. And that's true when our president isn't one of those kids that eats the marshmallow the moment the scientist puts it down. Trump ate the marshmallow before he even heard about the possibility of a second marshmallow. And of course, the administration's nonstop chaos and cruelty in our immigration system continues. This week, four House Democrats traveled to El Salvador to advocate for Kilmar Abrego Garcia's release from CECONT. And this just in, next week, four more House Democrats will head to El Salvador to try and free them. Detained Colombia protester and legal permanent resident Mahmoud Khalil missed the birth of his first child after ICE denied a request for his temporary release, even though he had not been charged with a crime. The only difference between Mahmoud Khalil and fellow legal immigrant Elon Musk is that Musk misses his children's births on purpose. Democratic lawmakers went to Louisiana to visit Khalil and Rameza Ozturk, a student who was detained after writing an op-ed critical of the war in Gaza in a college newspaper. This even had MAGA acolyte Charlie Kirk feeling conflicted.
We run a little bit of a problem if we are going to say that the criteria to get your visa revoked is writing an op-ed.
Don't dare. Don't. I put those hands down. Put those fuck, you be a fucking more expensive date. Unbelievable. Charlie Kirk, welcome to the resistance. Everybody who started applauding, I want you to think about what you did. Last month, the Trump administration ended part of a $200 million contract that funded attorneys for unaccompanied migrant children. As a result, an increasing number of children and toddlers are representing themselves in immigration court. And don't tell them I said this, but they fucking suck at it. Without lawyers, the children are more likely to be deported to the Salvadoran prison for children, CTOT. Yeah, boo it, boo it, boo it, boo it. It's a dark time. All the chaos and mismanagement has caused Trump's disapproval rating to climb to 59%. His numbers, yes, His numbers on immigration, once his strongest issue, have plummeted. In a recent poll, Americans said almost 2-1 that Abrego Garcia should be returned. Only about a quarter believe the Trump administration's claim that he's in MS-13, which isn't too many more than the share of Americans who believe that the COVID vaccine was a scheme to install trackers in our arms. And let's face it, a lot of overlap in that Venn diagram. Trump has even lost ground with the boys. According to new polling out of Harvard, 59% of young men said they disapprove of Trump's job performance as well. But Trump is still doing incredible numbers if you restrict the polling to young men who are currently doing a mass shooting. I've said this before, I'll say it again. I am not gonna meet you. You are gonna meet me. Doesn't have to be today. Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem's bag was stolen from Capital Burger. What are you applauding? What is that? What is that? She had to file a police report. She was having dinner with her family. Authorities have asked the public to be on the lookout for a bag made from between 100 and 102 Dalmatians. The bag contained Noem's passport, DHS access badge, apartment keys, medication, and $3,000 in cash. Also, a little box marked dog bullets. It's troubling. Asked why Noem had so much cash in her purse, a DHS spokesman said, her entire family was in town, including her children and grandchildren. She was using the withdrawal to treat her family to dinner activities and Easter gifts. What kind of activities? Freebasing? $3,000 in cash? Come on, kids. Parking lot nitrous on grandma. Go nuts. He has risen. But one person who hasn't risen is the Pope. Yet. Gotta be tough to do what I do. To say these things. Pope Francis died on Monday at age 88. Niagara officials say the barrel and GoPro were found not far from the falls basin. But still no sign of the Pope's body. In fact, the Pope died doing what he loved, ripping self-professed Christian politicians a new one for failing to actually live up to the precepts of Christianity. On Easter Sunday, the day before his death, the Pope met with Vice President Just Dug the Pope's Grave Vance at the Vatican. Said Pope Francis... That's it. It's a real picture. Said Pope Francis, hey, I asked for the angel of death, not the angel of pit sweat. Later that day, in his Easter speech, the Pope said, how much contempt is stirred up at times toward the vulnerable, the marginalized, and migrants. Continued the Pope, also, he's hard to talk to. After a brief silence, he asked if I liked working here. On Monday, Trump spoke from the White House to honor the late pontiff, while flanked by Melania and, of course, the Easter Bunny.
I just signed an executive order putting the flags of our country, all of them, all federal flags and state flags, at half-mast in honor of Pope Francis. So he was a good man, worked hard, he loved the world, and it's an honor to do that.
What is more fantastical? A magical bunny the size of a person that gives little children treats, or that Donald Trump has a wife? This feels more plausible. Look, we have bigger fish to fry. I know this. But A, there are 1.4 billion Catholics on Earth. Get the fucking Easter Bunny off the balcony. B, it's half staff. Masks are on boats. Does he think he's on a boat? It would explain why he always stands like this. And C, no, you don't order state flags to fly at half staff. You can't do that. Your order doesn't do that because it's copied and pasted from the text in previous orders. And you don't control what happens on private or state property. He can't help but do a tiny bit of fascism during the death of the fucking Pope. I'm doing fine. Finally, speaking of feeling like someone is shooting lasers in my eyes, scientists claim they have discovered a new never-before-seen color by shooting lasers at people's eyes. Scientists say the color, which they call Olo, resembles a very saturated shade of neon aqua, sort of like this color. The handful of test subjects who were lucky enough to see the new color describe it as, please stop, I see it. I see it. Please, I am a pilot. My eyes are my livelihood. Said another test subject, it was the most beautiful color I've ever seen. I'm so glad I saw it before completely going blind forever. Maybe some of this science should be shut down. When we come back, Congressman Ro Khanna.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It brought to you by Aura Frames. The number one thing your mom wants from you is to call her. This Mother's Day, you can give her a call, of course, and give her an Aura digital picture frame. Add unlimited photos and videos and invite as many people as you want to a frame. There are absolutely no hidden fees or subscriptions. It takes about 2 minutes to set up a frame using the Aura app. Every frame comes packaged in a premium gift box with no price tag, so they can skip the wrapping paper, upload videos up to 30 seconds long, and your favorite live iPhone photos will play right on the frame. The embedded speaker can play audio on demand, so you can load up a bunch of pictures and then add deeply troubling audio, you know?
I like that.
Fun prank. The sound of someone knocking on the door. Because what? Because look, watch this. Hello? One time you don't bark. The one time I set you up for a bit.
You're talking to me?
No, pundit. Pundit. Unbelievable. Aura Frames was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and featured in 495 gift guides last year. So the next time you need to call your mom,
gift guides.
You can also send her a new pic of you from that trip you're telling her all about right from your phone. Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. When is Mother's Day? When is Mother's Day?
Not this Sunday. No, it's in May.
Fuck.
We have a couple weeks.
All right.
We have a couple.
When's Father's Day?
June.
For a limited time, listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $35 off plus free shipping on their best-selling Carver Matte Frame. That's A-U-R-A Frames. Promo code Love It. Support this show by mentioning us at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. And we're back. Congress is currently on a 2-week break, but my next guest never quits. It's California's own Congressman Ro Khanna. Good to see you. Thanks for being here. Hi, Congressman.
That was a pretty good monologue.
It was pretty good. Thanks for saying that.
It gets better and better.
Yeah, it sure does. It sure does. All right. You gave... I wanted to talk to you about a variety of things, but when I saw this speech you gave at Yale 2 weeks ago at your alma mater, Yale Law School, a school where I was waitlisted.
Williams isn't that bad.
Well, I also was waitlisted at Yale for undergrad, and then again...
And there are not many Williams grads doing crazy stuff in the Trump administration, so you have that going for you.
Well, actually, I can't... We can talk about it after. I got... But you gave this powerful speech, and it struck me because it didn't sound like a political speech we would hear today. It sounded like you were reaching for something bigger. You said, today great anger grips the public. From this disquiet rises not a call to reform, but to dismantle.
to cast off the judges in their robes, the scholars in their gowns, and the press with its inconvenient questions. It stirred my speechwriter's heart. I used to have a serious job. What was the goal of the speech?
The goal of the speech was to show how dangerous the thinking is of what Vance and Trump are saying. I mean, it may sound glib for them to call universities the enemy, but this is the rhetoric that was used in the Chinese Cultural Revolution to go after intellectuals. This is the rhetoric used by authoritarians in Stalin's time to go after intellectuals. And the university is the place of freedom of thought, freedom of ideas, alternatives. And so it was to put that in context, and then it was to put into context how dangerous it is for them to be talking about going after the courts, defying the courts. And one of my favorite speeches, Lincoln's Lyceum Address, which I quote extensively in there. I mean, Lincoln is grappling with this huge issue about how do you make change at the time of the Civil War. And even he says you don't just reject the entire judiciary, you fight for equality through a constitutional system.
And it seems like one of the goals of the speech is to take on the specific way in which J.D. Vance and is what I would describe as being an intellectual Zamboni for Trump, sort of coming behind him and sort of smoothing out, making it make sense.
He's trying his best.
But you see him really committed to that project. You two went back and forth on social media where he was trying to do this. It culminated in him expressing himself, I think, very thoughtfully by saying about Congressman Khanna, quote, "You disgust me."
Called me whiny, too.
He called you whiny. Here's what you said in the speech in a more serious way in response to Vance, that Vance is as likely to destroy the life of an innocent man as he is to punish the guilty, and he does not seem to care. J.D. Vance, your cold indifference to the lives of vulnerable immigrants mocks every principle that this law school was built to uphold. Your affiliation with this law school is now a stain on the degree of every Yale graduate. I hope Yalies, alumni, student, faculty, and administrators will have the moral clarity to say so plainly. Nice. So you're hoping they'll say so plainly. We've seen Columbia fail to stand up. We found it was very heartening to see that Harvard decided to stand up, but then we learned last week that they were in negotiations with the administration. And we don't know what was going to come of that, but it wasn't until they received that letter that they decided to go public. What did you hear from administrators on that campus? What are you hearing about this effort to kind of give these universities a little bit of confidence?
Well, President Garber, I thought, showed a lot of courage. I mean, from Harvard. Before that, the question is, you know, what are they reluctant to fight about, right? I mean, it's the endowment. And look, in fairness, university presidents, if you talk to them, the last thing they want is to have the endowment less than when they took office. That's kind of their metric.
So sad.
And this is...
What a hard problem.
You know, but when you have $50 billion, you can take some risks for the very principle of freedom of thought and freedom of expression. And by the way, there are probably a lot of people who are going to give you money for standing up for that. So it may not actually hurt your bottom line. But you look at Kingman Brewster, you look at James, he was at Yale when he stood up for freedom of speech during the Vietnam protests. You look at James Conant, who was at Harvard and stood up during McCarthyism. You look at Robert Hutchins, who stood up for freedom of thought at University of Chicago. I mean, there was a time where the university presidents, people, nerds like me, remember, are not based on the endowments. They're based on them standing up for the freedom of thought. And you know what's so sad about Vance? There are two things. One, it's the rank hypocrisy, right? I call them gatekeepers of privilege. They went to these schools. They will do anything, I guarantee you, for having their kids and their go to these schools. And yet they attack these schools at a total false populism, right? It's good for me, but no one else, you know, everyone else is, you don't want to be affiliated with these universities. And they're attacking. I mean, if there's one thing that America should be proud of. It's our universities, from Rutgers to Princeton, from Yale to Ohio State, and they're attacking this. I mean, it is just, you know, it's not incompetence, like your monologue. It's like if you had people...
Wow. Wow. Okay. All right. You can unlock a different version of me if you'd like.
It's self-destruction. Like it's like if you wanted to like destroy stuff, not just, I mean, if they were incompetent, it's one thing. It's like they want to destroy every possible thing that's working.
Right. That if you couldn't come up with a better plan to undermine America from the inside than to make international students terrified of coming to our school, of making our schools, which have invited so much. I mean, you represent Silicon Valley. Like, how much of the wealth in Silicon Valley has been generated by people coming to this country to study, then staying and sort of lending their brilliance to our country? It does seem as though part of what they felt, this is, I think, what one of Trump's sort of aspects of his feral genius is, he sees weakness. And one of the weakness, I think, is the delta between the highfalutin morals of these places and the actual day-to-day administration of these places and the places where they don't uphold liberal values, where they do look the other way when there are genuine ethical problems with how they're being run, with the way people are saddled with debt, with the fact that these schools, there's that prestige is a limited resource and there's more and more students and no more spaces. And it makes me worry. I think one of the reasons maybe you felt you need to give this speech is we can't be sure that the kinds of people that are in the leadership at these schools now, schools built on bureaucracy, consensus, never been tested, are going to be the people that understand that this is a moment where they need to fight.
I think that's very well said. I mean, see, you were a speechwriter.
I had a serious job once, believe it or not.
But I think you're absolutely right. I mean, this is a time that people are being tested about, is it just about... the prestige and the U.S. news rankings, or are you actually going to stand up for values? And are you going to stand up for freedom of thought and be willing to reform? Because some of the critiques about universities needing to do better to have a diversity of political perspectives and thought, that's fine. But the answer to that is not to just tear everything down with rage. And that's why my view is that the response to Trumpism, I mean, I think David Brooks has this great point. He says he asks the right questions. He just has all the wrong answers. Doesn't mean that we don't ask those questions. He's identifying problems in our society. And then the question is, how are we going to respond to them?
So you've described establishment Democrats as stale. And you told a Bakersfield town hall, that's what you said, that when it comes to Democrats, the old guard isn't cutting it. And you backstage gave me a list of seven names. Can you just say the seven worst Democrats that you told me about backstage? The ones you think just gotta go.
Well, you look, I think I give Dick Durbin a lot of credit, right? I mean, here he is, someone who has had a distinguished career, gracefully moving in aside for a new generation. And I think you're going to have a new generation of people across the country of different ideologies come out and have new ideas. Do I think you know? I mean, I don't want to go through that. I will say Schumer, I think, really disappointed a lot of people. I mean, that's and didn't rise up to the moment. He was a phenomenally talented majority leader during Biden. Like, he's really good at getting legislation done, but. He's not meeting the moment right now in terms of what it's going to take to offer an alternative.
So let's talk about the moment. You outlined basically a series of steps that you thought Democrats could take right now. This was about challenging 30 Republicans that we can beat. This was also about stopping this reconciliation bill. I'm curious, where are we right now in the effort to get three House Republicans to say no to the Trump reconciliation budget?
I feel much more confident today than if we were having this conversation a month ago. And the reason is because of things like Cory Booker's speech, because of Chris Murphy, because of AOC and Bernie Sanders, because of the town halls. there's a lot of energy out there. And so you asked specifically Bakersfield. I went there. I did a town hall. 1,000 people showed up, right? I don't have that. I'm not a household name like Bernie or AOC or Booker. The only time I'd been to Bakersfield was for good Indian food, right? I show up and...
That joke kills in California.
And look, David Baldeo, it's 2/3 Medicaid patients are in his constituency. And then Bernie goes there, AOC goes there, Jimmy Gomez goes there. And just 2 days ago, David Baldeo suddenly finds religion and he says, well, along with 11 Republicans, I'm not going to vote for any Medicaid cuts. So the organizing is having an impact. And the second thing that's having an impact, other than these awful cuts for tax breaks, is that they're literally destroying the economy. I'll tell you the average Silicon Valley text I've gotten from people who voted for Trump. You know,
was it something like, goo goo gaga, I'm a big stupid baby?
Well, I'll summarize it this way. It's like, in this country, for whatever reason, you can commit crimes and we'll forgive you. You can have affairs. You can, you know, people will forgive you. You can do an insurrection. We'll forgive you. But you can't go after people's money. You can't go after people's money. And so these people are like, well, I thought I'd be making more money under Trump. I guess that's not true. Well, yeah, no. When you go after the courts and you threaten to fire Jerome Powell and you have irrational tariffs, that was predictable. But now you suddenly have people who have losing confidence in him. Now, they're reluctant to say so because they think he's going to have retribution. But this is where we need to find the courage. I mean, if you're having doubts, speak up. And this is the time, I think, that the pendulum can swing back and people are really waking up at his incompetence.
So as somebody, you have unflagging energy and boundless takes. We don't have enough time to have you weigh in on everything. You'll have to get your own podcast for that. But we do want to get your...
Politician podcasts are the most boring thing. I know some people have tried... I mean, why would you want a politician who like 70% of the time is thinking, are they going to say something that gets them into trouble? Not me, but on a podcast. It's just go on other people's podcasts. Say it. Don't do your own podcast. That's my view. Maybe I'll be like a dinosaur. Everyone will have their podcasts. I'm not having a podcast.
No, I yeah, that's smart. Well, it just seems like if your goal is to get in front of people that aren't familiar with you, anyone who's downloading your podcast as a politician, you've already, in some sense, gotten. So you need to go elsewhere. So stop doing the podcast.
I'm also like philosophically opposed. You know, there are all these technology things. You've got to control the medium. You need to talk to your followers. You need to have the ability to communicate in a way that isn't filtered by the media. No, that's not democracy. Like, the whole point is you should be filtered. You should be questioned. You should be challenged. You should be talking to people different than yourself. So, you know, just because Donald Trump has the model of Truth Social, like, he is destroying democracy. This isn't to be imitated. It is to be rejected for alternative models.
Yeah. And on that note, we do want to get your quick thoughts on a few pieces of news in a segment we're calling The More You Row. All right, I'm going to give you a topic. In return, you give us your gut reaction. First up, the Pentagon is in chaos and only one Republican as of this recording, Don Bacon, has called for Pete Hegseth's resignation. It's a fucking joke. Thoughts?
Don Bacon is the chair of the Armed Services Committee for Citi, and I'm on the ranking member, and I'm really proud that he's actually had the guts to do that. By the way, he's the only general, highest-ranking general in Congress, and so he understands the stakes. But the fact that you don't have every national security Republican out there calling for his resignation just shows. I mean, like, they don't understand. They're losing their two things. There used to be they never were good on, like, we care about people, poor people, and we want to build inclusion. Their whole thing was like, we know how to make you money, and we know how to keep you safe. And now they don't know how to keep us safe because they're leaking war plans, and they don't know how to make us money. Like, I think their party's in a lot of trouble.
I'll be honest and say that I am surprised by just how low Marco Rubio has gone. I am. I'd never have been a fan. He's always been very small, which allows you to get lower under things and so forth between floorboards. But have you been surprised by how willing he has been to go along with this disgraceful, lawless crackdown on legal immigrants?
I have, you know what I've been surprised by? Like, there's not more ambition in the Republican Party. You know, like I used to criticize Joe Biden, I mean, Psaki, and all the time. I mean, that, and you did it partly out of belief, but like if you're a Republican, you know, I was cheering when Ted Cruz was like, I oppose the tariffs. And I'm thinking, okay, Ted Cruz is thinking, because he's such a calculating guy, that maybe he can run for the nomination against J.D. Vance when these tariffs don't work out. And I was like, where is the ambition? Like, let's get a little more ambition in the Republican Party so there are 15 people positioning themselves to run as opposed to just totally kissing up to Donald Trump, who's going to be a failed president. It's not the lack of courage. It's the stupidity that is bewildering.
J.D. Vance met with the Pope.
Let's say that.
The Pope died shortly after meeting with him. Coincidence? You're not on your platform. Deal with it.
Can't catch a break. I don't know. I mean, maybe he'll find religion. I don't know.
Oh, I have to say, if I don't know, like if I was a deeply Christian Catholic and I met with the Pope, he scolded me and then died, I'd be. I'd think about it. I'd think about some of my ideas in the shower, at least. On Sunday, the president handed out Trump collectible trading cards to the children gathered at the White House lawn. Here he is, showing an adorable child a card with his Butler, Pennsylvania assassination attempt on it. Ro, are you going to collect them all?
I don't even know what to say. Just unbelievable. With kids, too.
Trump is hosting a dinner for his biggest meme coin investors. Have dinner with President Trump and the $ Trump community. The invitation said, according to the Times, let the president know how many Trump coins you own. Extraordinary corruption, just out in the open.
It is, and I know, like people are like, oh, this is this Bitcoin or NFT things. No, this is not like some complicated technical issue. Let me just explain very simply what he's doing. It's like opening up a Swiss bank account where no one else knows whether someone's depositing money, which is basically this coin, and telling people, okay, come deposit money for me, buy my coin. That's what's going on. Like, if you're the prime minister of some other country or head of state, you'll be like, well, let's just buy some of this Trump coin, and when we meet him, we'll show it to him, and no one else will know. And it's really just the most blatant corruption. It's unbelievable to me that you haven't had anyone speaking out about it, and he's... And it's all garbled with all this techno babble that means nothing. It's just pure corruption.
Yeah. So what do, you think? How do we stop it?
Well, we stop it first by speaking out. Look, I get that people are upset with members of Congress and senators saying we haven't done enough. And I also get that for the first month, collectively, we should have... You know, it took us a while to find our voice. I do think we're finding it. But this country, you know, we don't have congressional sovereignty in this country. We don't have executive sovereignty. We don't have judicial sovereignty. We have something called popular sovereignty. That means it's not just 212 House members and 47 senators. It's our law firms. It's our universities. It's banks. It's technology leaders. It's people. We all need to start to speak up. And there are too many people in this country who are afraid. And they're afraid and they're thinking, he's at 45%. Democrats are going to win back the House. Democrats will win back the presidency. Let's just keep quiet. Let's not have him go after us. Let's keep making our $6 million per year partner profits. And let's just ride out these 4 years. That's what's going on. So you can blame members of Congress. And I agree, we got to step up our game. But so does every American citizen who's concerned about democracy.
That's a great place to leave it. Congressman Khanna, thank you so much. You'll be back for the rant wheel. Yeah.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It.
is brought to you by OneSkin. There are plenty of skin products out there promising to turn back time, but how do you know they actually work? With OneSkin, there's no guesswork. Their products are backed by lab and clinical data and powered by their proprietary OS1 peptide. OS1 is the first peptide scientifically proven to target zombie cells, those dysfunctional, senescent cells that speed up aging at the cellular level. You can only find OS1 in OneSkin's moisturizers, sunscreens, and now in their latest product, OS1 Hair. This daily scalp serum tackles those same zombie cells, but instead of targeting lines and wrinkles, it combats the aging cells in your hair follicles to reactivate your natural growth cycle. I'm going to get some of this going. I'll throw anything in there. Got to keep these hair follicles alive. They must stay alive.
Do whatever it takes.
They must stay alive. My fiance is so much younger than me. Cannot be bald. I'm sorry. I have respect. I respect for people with the confidence to go bald. It's not me. I don't have it in me. I don't know. I don't have it. I don't have it. It's perfect for anyone dealing with hair loss, thinning, or shedding. Or if you want thicker, denser hair, in 3-month clinical study, they found real improvements in hair density, fullness, and overall scalp health. Try OS One Hair or any OneSkin product with 15% off your first purchase. Use code LOVEIT at oneskin.co. I'm a huge fan of OneSkin. It's also really great to have it as part of your routine. I have found that I used to not do anything. I used to not wash my face. I just was terrible. And then all of a sudden, I started making it a really nice part of my night. And I enjoy it almost like a video game, that like trying to have better skin is like earning points on face skin, you know? And I'm trying to get as many points as I can. I'm trying to beat the record. So I'm a huge fan. It's great. Founded and led by an all-women team of skin longevity scientists, OneSkin is redefining the aging process with their proprietary OS1 peptide. I don't even need to do. The endorsement is my youthful appearance.
Mm.
Right, John?
It is.
Get 15% off with code LOVEIT at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code LOVEIT. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Invest in the health and longevity of your skin and scalp with OneSkin. Your future self will thank you.
And we're back! It's the DC show, and I want to do something special with our former and current federal workers who I know are in the audience. Let me hear you. And they wouldn't let me bring my t-shirt cannon, even though it's perfectly safe. It's how I get dressed every morning. So instead, I'm going to do the most difficult thing of all. Share the spotlight. In a segment we're calling Revenge of the Nerds. If you're a federal worker, especially a federal worker who's been furloughed or fired, and want to poke a little fun tonight, please raise your hand. We will not show you on camera. All right, let's bring the lights up. I'm going to come out there. I'm just going to come out there. We'll do it like this. Hi, okay. All right, raise your hand if you're a federal worker. Oh, here we go, I'm coming over. I'll come right here, I'm gonna go here first. West Virginia Republican Senator sent a letter to RFK Jr. Monday begging him to undo cuts to the agency that support coal miner health.
Along with a gorgeous basket of dead canaries.
Nice. Who's up? Hi, I'm coming in. Hi. Much of the CDC's Injury and Violence Prevention Department was just cut, including teams responsible for tracking car crashes, head injuries, and drowning.
Not the first Kennedy to try and hide car crashes and drownings. Hey, RFK.
I'll come back here. You want to do the next line? Here, do the next line.
Hey, RFK Jr., Chappaquiddit.
Chappaquiddit. Here, you can do what's called in the business a tag.
And all in the name of budget cuts. More like cheap acquittic.
Nice. Yeah, hell yeah. Who's up next? Hi. All right. Said the head of one nonprofit about RFK Jr.'s cuts, "We will not know what is killing us, and that is very scary."
But also pretty obvious what's killing people. It's J.D. Vance.
Nice. I'm gonna come. I gotta come. I'm coming over there. Oh, hi. The FDA is reportedly planning to end most of its routine food safety inspections, outsourcing the work to state and local governments.
It makes me think the Book of the Jungle by Upton Sinclair, because I just found a copy inside the cavity of my Costco chicken.
What a strange thing to find in a Costco chicken. I'm coming through. Hi. Who's over here? Oh, I need a Jewish federal worker. It's not a trap. Are you? You're Jewish? Jewish federal worker. All right. On Monday, citing the lack of lab support following staffing cuts, the FDA suspended quality testing for milk and other liquid dairy products.
Finally, milk will do to the goyim what's been doing to the Jews for thousands of years.
Hell yeah. I need another federal worker.
Said one dairy farm owner, I definitely had a Band-Aid on when I came in this morning. What happened to it?
Oh, well.
I'm sorry about that one. Hi. Oh, so many people. All right. I'm coming over here. The National Science Foundation abruptly canceled more than 400 research awards, including but not limited to grants focused on DEI and disinformation.
Or did they?
Who's over here? Hi. Oh, all right. So many people accepted the Department of Transportation's resignation offer, part of DOGE's federal staffing cuts, that the agency is now begging employees not to leave.
That'll show them. In unrelated news, could someone drive me to 12th New Jersey South after the show? We will need to stop at the dry cleaners near my house.
Because he works there.
Do that one too. You can't tell the Department of Transportation employees to hit the road and expect them not to do it. Those guys love roads.
Nice. That's it. Good job, everybody. Thanks, everybody. Okay. When we come back, Jen Psaki and Eugene Daniels is here. Okay. And we're back. My friends from inside the TV are here. Please welcome to the stage from MSNBC's The Briefing with Jen Psaki. It's Jen Psaki, and from MSNBC's upcoming The Weekend, it's Eugene Daniels. Hi. Good to see you. Hi, come on in.
Hi, everyone.
Hello.
Hello. First of all, we're not going to insult you like Congressman Khanna did. We discussed
That's what we did discuss
backstage. We love you.
I think he meant that I described the incompetence.
I'm joking.
Should we get him back out here to tell us what
he thought? He did a great job.
He did a great job.
Every member of Congress can't flow with your humor, so I think we can give him a good
Absolutely.
Round of applause. He was really good. He was really good.
I love Rokana. And genuinely, I said this to him. I wasn't sucking up. I was excited to talk to him about a range of things, but he gave an extraordinary speech about the Constitution and democracy, and everybody should take a moment to go read it. They don't come along that way that often. All right. Jen.
Yes. Such a dramatic.
I was worried
it.
It was one of these down here.
I don't want to talk about the Pope and what happened.
No.
I don't know.
No, correct. Correct.
It's an open question. Something we'll have to get to the bottom of. Hearings in the House. That's something fun Democrats could say. If we went back to the House, we're holding hearings as to whether or not J.D. Vance killed the Pope. Jen, yesterday we learned that you'll be taking over Rachel Maddow's primetime MSNBC slot with your new show, The Briefing.
Thank you, guys.
She'll return to hosting on Mondays. Wow. Primetime every night and at such a fun time. You
this
get to
is
do this.
Prep. I was thinking about this because I am kind of a Jommies by 9:30 person. I don't know who's with me. And so I'm like, I really have to adjust to the whole timeline, but I'm here for it. Coffee at 7. I think.
Plus the news and keeping up with every day covering what's going on.
Well, that's enough to keep you awake. That's its own sort of jolt of something.
And Eugene, you also just joined MSNBC. You're going to be co-hosting The Weekend with Jonathan Capehart and Jackie Alamany. You and Jonathan.
Thank you. Yep.
You and Jonathan will be the first openly gay black men to host a major network news program. Is that because it's such a good time to be gay and black?
It's never been a better time, baby. It's better. I appreciate you saying that right. The other day, someone said, I'm openly black and gay. And I was like, I am also openly black, I guess. It was less of a question from birth.
Right. I feel like if you're asking someone about being gay, the openly is implied.
Right, right, correct.
I now feel bad for the person who did that.
I didn't say their name.
I know. It's probably findable. Don't find it.
When news out of the Trump administration is this absurd and I think this brazenly terrible, is it a challenge to cover it in a way that doesn't feel like you're just sort of giving us what we want?
What do you want? That's the good question. Let's shout it out.
They want to wake up in a better world.
I know. Don't we all? First of all, I am a believer, as I know you are, and you are, that knowledge is power and empowering. And in this moment, when things are very scary, and we don't have to deny that they are scary, we also need to understand exactly what is happening within the federal government, what dismantling is happening, what rights are being taken away, and what's happening out in states as well as states are being impacted. So the challenge is actually the challenge I've found is that it is hard. An hour-long show, it sounds long. It's 42 minutes, actually. And when you're hosting a show, you think about how do I deliver to the audience and make it feel like we're adding value and insight and information back into the universe. And there's just not enough time in 42 minutes to talk about all of the massive shit shows that are happening right now. So that is actually the biggest challenge. But the way I think about it, I mean, we're all nerdy here. Everybody here's nerdy, guys, you know? Proud nerds. Yep. Proud nerds. But what I also think is challenging about this moment is it's easy to lose the thread of stories, right? The SignalGate story, which may sound like nobody in here thinks it doesn't matter, but some people may think it doesn't matter. But here's the thing. Does anybody work in the national security space out here? Right? Thank you, guys. You guys all know that anybody working in this space, if you have access to classified information, you literally can't bring in a watch, AirPods, anything into a classified space, a SCIF, right? And there are so many means of sharing information. And if you're the Secretary of Defense, by the way, like Pete Hegseth, you have a bazillion ways you can have these conversations. But my point of what I'm saying here is we lost the thread of that for a couple of weeks until like there was new reporting and we learned he's maybe building a makeup room or whatever's happening there. But it's important to follow these stories and the threads of them because if there's 100 signal chains, that means all of that information could be accessible to adversaries around the world. It means people who are operatives around the world could be at risk. It means our military could be at risk. So the two challenges I've found are how do you fit everything in 42 minutes? You can't. And how do you keep following the thread of stories and get into the absolute weediest of weeds so people understand how all of this is impacting their lives around the country?
Yeah, it's a good answer. Whenever I go on Chris Hayes' show, he asks me, I get maybe two questions, and it's always like, it's bad news, Chris. Ah, we're out of time. I feel like I'm not built for it. I feel like I've become luxuriously comfortable to the endless amount of time I get during a podcast.
I'm going to give shorter answers. I'm sorry. That was
no, that was
long.
Great.
I apologize.
We have 3 hours now on the Saturday and Sunday, so if you need a little bit more time... You can play it with us on Saturday and Sunday.
I was pitching Eugene ideas backstage. He was like,
"Very good
okay,
ideas.
Thank you."
We can pre-tape Fridays, right?
We can maybe. We might have to pre-tape you based on your colorful
language.
East
Coast Saturday. Yeah. All right. Eugene, you're the head of the White House Correspondents Association. How much does that job pay? It seems like a fun job.
It is shockingly cheap. It is $0. It is a volunteer gig. The entire board is a volunteer board, 9 members, working journalists who spend... They're probably... My phone's blowing up right now because we're always slacking and talking to each other about, you know, what we could be doing differently, what we should be doing, who's being blocked out of what now is something that we're spending a lot of time dealing with, which is abnormal. You guys probably know that. You know that. that doesn't typically happen in White Houses.
Yeah, well, it does seem like... I think in the same way, when people see what's happening in the world, they want to yell at someone that will care, so they yell at the media. In the same way, I think that's like a smaller microcosm of that because... People see what's happening to the press corps and they want someone to be angry at. And so they want to be angry at the White House Correspondents Association. And I think there are valid criticisms. But at the same time, I would be interested to hear just sort of what of a tight spot you're in and what levers you actually have, because it's just a group of journalists having conversations.
Yeah, it's a group of nerds like we are in here who, especially for the board, who just wanted to be problem solvers, right? Like, you don't run for the board and give up all this time and give your life to do the things that we do because you just want power and you want to keep people out of the, you know, out of the pool. That's not what folks are doing. So, you know, the levers of power that people think we have don't actually exist. Like we found out, you know, earlier over the last 4 months and the last, you know, the last decade, is most of the things that have been a part of the way that the White House Correspondents Association has worked for years with different White Houses, whether it was the Obama White House, the Reagan White House, the Biden White House, it was all norms, right? We didn't have the us handling the pools and handling the logistics. It wasn't because there was a law passed by Congress to do that. It was because White Houses knew, and even the Trump White House during the first administration, that the people that are being covered should not choose the people that are covering them. And that is, as far as we're concerned, the most important issue that we're dealing with. Because do you want... Thank you, guys. And it's not because we like running into the Oval Office or going into the EEOB or traveling on Air Force One. It's because the American people deserve to understand and to know that the people in that room are people who maybe have been on the beat for a while, understand the questions, who are coming in and asking serious questions of the most powerful people in the country. And so when you don't have that, when the American people can't trust that, it's not just an issue for us, it's an issue for everybody.
Do you think that there are ways in which the press could be banding together more to fight on behalf of the AP or Reuters or any other people Trump is going after?
I mean, we signed the WHCA board put together this letter in support of the Associated Press very early on, as soon as kind of all of this started happening. 39 other folks, member associations, signed on to it, including people always surprised by this, so I like to bring it out. Fox News and Newsmax both signed on to the letter because they understand better than anyone is that while things might be rosy with one administration, if you have a Ro Khanna as president, or Chris Murphy or an AOC, then they're very excited. Oh, or Jen Psaki as president.
Trouble.
Yeah, exactly. That's trouble.
There's a lot of AOC
exactly,
in here.
Exactly. Then they're going to be kicked out, right? And so we are a member association. We are a member board. And so we can't do things that our folks don't want to do. If you've ever tried to get 900 members and their bosses and their bosses' bosses' boss to kind of all agree on the same thing while making sure you're still able to do the coverage that you want to do and are paid to do and the American people expect and deserve, it's a balancing act. And it's very difficult. But I think, you know, every single day, the board and members, we call them the friends of the board, the folks that are our pool chairs, wake up and try to figure out, okay, what are the kinds of problems we can solve to make sure that our folks are actually in the room, even if there are some other people in the room asking some different types of questions.
Jen, I want to ask
so
you about
diplomatic.
That. You were
I've gotten better at it.
Yeah, well
very
done.
You're very diplomatic. Very diplomatic. Jen, you were White House press secretary. How much easier would your job have been if you could, if you need a quick break from using your brain, point to somebody who would ask a question like, how does Joe Biden seem so young every day? What's his secret?
Why is he so thin? Is he losing weight? That was a recent question, wasn't it?
It was.
It would have been a little different, I have to say. I would just add, I mean, I have the White House Correspondents Association can be a royal pain in the ass if you're in the White House.
Yes, we are.
And I think this is important to understand. I have a point here that's positive, I promise. This is important to understand because their job is to push every White House for more access. The job of the press secretary and the press department and people working in the communications team is not to grant them access. Imagine if the press team was like, yes, you can have a daily press conference. That would be insane. That's not their job either. But what you work together on, which is also important, is providing access in an efficient way to the American public. And there, yes, it's the press is pushing you. They don't always like what the president says. Oftentimes they don't. But you work with them on a couple things that are important to understand. One is the president goes to a war zone, right? You can't announce that publicly because there's a national security risk. You would go to Eugene and you'd say, the president is going to a war zone. We need to put together a pool because you know why? The American people should know what the president is doing in a war zone, but we can't announce it in advance. You have a trusting relationship with them to do that. There is a mass shooting of which, unfortunately, there are so many. This could happen on any domestic trip. You have a pool with you of the wire reporters and national reporter, TV, radio, because any president prior to this one would want to speak to the American people and express love, support, resources, whatever is needed in that moment. The pool was created, I think, by Eisenhower forever ago, back in the day, Eisenhower. But it plays an important role. And when you have, I know that these absurd questions, my favorite one that's happened recently is Marjorie Taylor Greene's boyfriend, which is an important part of the story. The day that Zelensky was in the Oval Office, and your friend Rubio was sinking into the couch.
Yeah.
In an embarrassed fashion. Oh, no. Oh, that. Oh, there was another Rubio couch story. I wasn't going there. Was it Rubio or someone else?
No, that's Vance. That's Vance.
Vance, sorry. Sorry, now I just went there. Anyway, my point is, Marjorie Taylor Greene's boyfriend asked Zelensky why he wasn't wearing a suit. This was after Zelensky had just been berated by the president of the United States and his country is at war and has been invaded by Russia. That is not a question that would be asked by any pool reporter, including from Fox News and many other outlets that are conservative leaning, for sure.
Well, also, God forbid we're in some kind of real emergency. And yes, it's not the AP or Reuters or the Washington Post, New York Times with the president, but Joe Fuckface from All America Radio. Like, we're fucked.
Taylor Greene's boyfriend's name is not Joe Fuckface. Just
No, sorry. They look alike. They look alike. They all have that look.
I don't know what his name is.
I didn't call him Joe, you know, that word, because, you know, I would never do that. I'm diplomatic, remember?
Speaking of incredible comedy, we're here for the White House Correspondents' Dinner weekend. You got flack. The White House Correspondents Association got flack for canceling Amber Ruffin.
You got flack?
You did. You got some flack. Now, my issue with it is
okay, I'll see y'all after the show. How about that? Boots in my face.
Played football at Colorado State. Watch yourselves.
Don't let the nail polish in the heels fool you, baby. I played college football.
My issue with it is that a comedian brings a lot of attention to journalists, and journalism at a time when getting attention is hard. Will there be a comedian next year? And you do know that I'm a straight shooter, widely respected on both sides.
It looks like the crowd wants you to, you know, we'll have to talk to Weezer. So next year, Weezer Zhang of CBS will be the president. So I don't know what their plans are.
Oh, passing the buck.
I know. We'll have to. I can call her. We can FaceTime her.
Put in a good word.
But, you know, what I will say about the decision to not have any comedian, right, is that I feel like we have built a dinner that gets us kind of back to the center of why we started having the dinners, is to celebrate the students. We have more than 20 students who come across the country who get scholarships, our award recipients, who for the first time maybe ever are actually going to talk when they get their awards and are just going to kind of take a picture and walk off, centering them and centering and celebrating the First Amendment. People feel beleaguered. Our press corps Phil has been attacked over and over and over again. And frankly, guys, folks don't feel like things are funny, right? Do you think shit is real funny right now? I didn't think so. Okay.
I'm sorry. Answer that question correctly. At this comedy show.
Yeah, not here right this second. Very hilarious. But like in the world. And so like, and so we're trying to reflect that and kind of meet that moment. And, you know, those are the kinds
of... I'm mad at you.
That's fine. That's
fine.
Hey,
you show some goddamn respect in a tough spot. I like Amber Ruffin a lot. I like Eugene a lot. All right? Trump is the problem. Eugene, you played
out front.
You played football.
Raise your hand right now.
Yeah. You played football at Colorado State.
Yeah, I do.
Now you knock the wind out of every passing gay guy with your fits. I was genuinely shocked to learn that you came out at 27.
Yeah.
That shocks me because I see you as a person who has
been gay the whole time. Yeah.
Well, but flamboyantly confident and confidently flamboyant.
I appreciate that. I like that. Put that on my tombstone.
What the fuck were you like when you were 26?
So I thought. I thought I was doing a very good job, but I had a friend tell me that I saw a couple years ago after I'd come out. He was like, you know, what was really funny is you like finished playing football. I was the defensive end. We'd be in high school and you'd go to your car and then you'd like bump Danny DeCane or Beyonce. And like, and so I wasn't doing a lot of hiding. I had girlfriends. I know everyone's shocked about that too. I had girlfriends and all of that. But I think, you know, I hit 27 and frankly, Pulse happened. And I had this terrifying thought that my parents, my family, I would die or something would happen and they wouldn't know who I was. And so then I kind of made a decision that I was going to kick, as my husband likes to say, kick down the closet door and come out fully formed. fully formed and never kind of be something else ever again. What was I like? I spent a lot of time thinking about like, okay, if I look at my nails, you have to go like this because you like this. It's a girl. That's the way women do it, right? And if you can't put your hands on your hip this way because now if it's popped, it's a little too gay. And so it was like, you spend so much time doing that. So when I came out, what I realized is I have so much room in my head for the work. I have so much room in my head to just like be. And you're not focusing and trying to hide. That's what you can do.
Sweet. One for me.
Love that answer so much.
Beautiful. One for me is that girls and gay guys hold books like this.
Yes.
But straight men hold books at their sides.
Exactly. It's like, or the backpack.
That's how I would hold a book.
Exactly.
And then I'd see if, I mean.
Or like the backpack. Like you can't, it can't be like leaning down too far because, you know, it's too gay. You spend a lot of time doing that. Yeah.
A lot of rules.
Yeah, the backpack, yeah. I don't know if it's still happening. I don't know what kids do. Kids take backpacks now? I don't know.
It's all on the computer. It's AI now. Before we go, Jen, you stood at the White House podium and answered tough questions. Eugene, you asked tough questions.
To Jen.
And now look at you. Thick as thieves. Yeah. But the Trump White House, not a fan of hard questions, which is why we want you both to blind rank these softball questions lobbed underhanded at the Trump White House in a segment we're calling the White House Softball Tournament. Five is, of course, a semi-firm cheddar, while one is the softest, crumbliest goat cheese of all. You're blind ranking. So you don't know how bad the questions will get.
Do we know how many we have?
We have five.
We have
five questions. You can rate that 1 through 5, which 1 being the softest, 5 being the toughest. Question is, where will that be? And you won't. All right? You're going to blind rank them. So you don't know.
Are these actual questions?
These are actual questions. Here, let's see what's first.
So what does it say that the Democrats, while they couldn't stand for Americans or stand for victims, they stood for war and clapped for war and clapped for 5 more years of war?
Wow, what a tough question for the White House press secretary. What does it say about Democrats are the fucking worst?
Warmongers. I'm going to give it a 4.
I think that's right. Let's give it a 4.
There's more room to
grow.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so let's put a 4 up on the big board.
Okay. We may regret this. Don't feel like you have to follow me.
Next up.
So Secretary Hegseth announced yesterday that Army recruiting levels have reached 12-year highs in December, 15-year highs in January. What is making young people want to serve the military under the Trump administration, and how does that contrast to Biden's failure consistently to meet recruiting average?
Yeah.
Does DEI play President Trump's anti-DEI?
Is this the same guy?
It is the same guy.
It is the same guy. I think it is the same guy.
It is indeed. Gotta throw some DEI in there.
I used to love those people. I was like, man, I love those people.
They didn't ask you those questions. They were harder questions for
you. No, that guy would have been like, what would he have asked me? We had plenty of these people.
Laptop kind
of
thing.
He would have been like, why does Joe Biden hate the military and want... What would he have said? I don't know.
Isn't there some point where the question is either so easy or so hard? Like, the question is so easy that your job is harder because you have to pretend you got asked a question. And at a certain point, a question is so hard, you just disregard it and just basically can respond not to the substance, but to the ridiculousness.
Well, that's true. You can look for a thread of ridiculous sometimes. Although that one, I want to know what she said, because was she like, thank you for your question. This is an incredible topic to discuss. Or what was said? I don't know.
It's literally impossible to find out.
Okay. How do we rank that one?
I'm going to give that 5.
Yeah, me too. I think there's more to come.
There's more to come.
I think you're two savvy operators. Let's go to our next softball.
Many of the news organizations that are represented in this room have marched in lockstep on false narratives, such as the Very Fine People hoax, the Covington smear, and now what's being called the Maryland Man hoax. Now, in an effort from the White House to expand access to new companies, you've created this new media seat. So I'm wondering if you can comment on, following this expansion, you've had numerous outlets disparage the companies that you've had sit here, as well as the reporters. I'm wondering if you could comment on the unprofessional behavior, as well as elaborate if there's any plans to expand access to new companies.
Number two.
All right, I'm going to give him a 3, because I'm like, what did you say?
Yeah, where's his suit?
Is that what you want to know?
Why did they ask about his suit? Honestly, if that's the new media seat, I want to use it, and I'm not going to wear a suit.
I'm going to give it a 3.
A 2 because he's talking shit about my people.
All right. I'm gonna give it a 3.
Well, you have to agree. We're only doing rankings together.
You have to agree.
Sorry,
no. We can do a three.
Okay. No, it's fine.
2.5.
2.5. We can give it a 2.
We'll give it a 2.
It's a two. All right, next up.
My question is, do you think this latest incident with the president of Colombia is indicative of the global, powerful respect they have for President Trump moving forward, not only to engage in economic diplomacy with these countries, but also world peace?
That is Mr. Glenn. That is who she was talking about. That's Marjorie Taylor Greene's boyfriend.
That's
Mr. Glenn.
Wow. That's
him in the flesh.
Yeah,
look,
Mr. Glenn.
It's all making sense
Trump
now.
Is bringing about world peace. Care to comment?
Yeah, I know.
There's an old joke about the questions that Charlie Rose used to ask authors about their books before Kent. This is an old joke. But the joke is like
the whole Charlie Rose thing.
Sorry. It's just from the past. There are things from the past I can draw upon. But the question was, your book, why now? It's a great question. I've used it.
I had a journalism professor who said the best question to say, and then what happened? And then what happened? And people just keep talking forever.
Oh,
and then what happened?
We like that.
Yeah,
that's
and then
good.
What happened? Yeah, free tip for everybody.
Free
for the boers
for
out there. You could take
I
that
feel
too.
Like the thing about that guy is he went home and he was like, Marjorie, I crushed it today. Don't you think?
You know what?
I killed it in the briefing room.
I hope what happened is he walked through the door, and before he could say anything, she was like, honey, you crushed it today. That's what you want.
He texted
him.
That's
a good relationship.
Love you, XOXO heart emoji. I don't know.
I hope so.
I think that's a 3. I feel like there's something big coming.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I don't trust Levitt, so probably.
Your instincts, I have to say, perfect. Perfect. Finally, here's Lindell TV reporter Kara Castronova asking the hard-hitting questions about Trump's health.
Oh, boy.
Kara, will you guys also consider releasing the president's fitness plan? He actually looks healthier than ever before. Healthier than he did 8 years ago, and I'm sure everybody in this room could agree.
The president's fitness plan. Donald Trump's fitness plan.
First of all, I was talking earlier about how you don't have enough time in 42 minutes. And a segment I really wanted to do, I'm a sports fan. I was never a football player, obviously. But was all of the people who are actually the height and weight that Donald Trump claims he is. I wanted to do like a 4-minute read on this. Because There are enough people. Like, where are you, Patrick Mahomes? Because apparently you're the same size as Donald Trump. I think he's one of the people. So that's a one for me. It's amazing. I love that question.
It's an incredible. What's your...
How would you have answered that if someone asked you that about Joe Biden?
About Joe Biden?
Yeah. Or Obama.
Well, Eugene, thank you for your question. I would say the president is a healthy eater. He does like to exercise. And we have released transparently his full health report from his doctor, who actually has a medical degree. So...
That's a great place to leave it. Let's see the rankings. Do we have the final rankings?
She still got it. She still got it.
All right.
I'm nervously looking for the ranking.
Here we have the final rankings. In five, I think you guys did a great job. What is Trump's recruitment secret? 4, why are Democrats such warmongers? 3, will Trump bring about world peace? 2, why are people giving me such a hard time? And 1, how does Donald Trump say so sexy? What's his secret? Jenna, Eugene, thank you so much. Stick around.
Thank you.
Starting May 6th, The Breathing with Jen Psaki will air every Tuesday through Friday at 9 on MSNBC. And beginning May 3rd, you can watch more of Eugene as co-host of MSNBC's The Weekend on Saturdays and Sundays. The sun never sets on these two. We'll be right back up with A Sort of Wheel.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Hiya. Typical children's vitamins are basically candy in disguise, filled with sugar, unhealthy chemicals, and other gummy additives growing kids should not eat. That's why Hiya created a superpower chewable vitamin. Hiya is made with zero sugar and zero gummy additives, yet it tastes great and is perfect for picky eaters. Formulated with the help of pediatricians and nutritional experts, Hiya is pressed with a blend of 12 organic fruits and veggies, then supercharged with 15 essential vitamins and minerals to help support immune system, energy, brain function, mood, concentration, teeth, bones, and more. Charlie took one, then he beat 7 people at chess in the park.
True story.
It's non-GMO, vegan, dairy-free, allergy-free, gelatin-free, and nut-free. But you could sprinkle nuts on top of it. And that's also fine. If you want the nuts.
Yeah.
Every batch is third-party tested, so it's safe, it's nutritious, highest designed for kids 2 and up, and sent straight to your door so parents have one less thing to worry about. Personal endorsement from John.
Well, Charlie has been taking Hiya vitamins for quite some time now, and it's great because, he doesn't exactly have a balanced diet, but now he does. Now he's getting all his nutrients and vitamins, and he really likes it.
And he doesn't have a balanced diet because you only let him out of the cage once a day?
Yes. Yeah, no, we just kind of throw some food in there.
Mm-hmm.
A couple handfuls.
And are you tired of battling with your kids to eat their greens? Hiya now has Kids Daily Greens Plus Superfoods, a chocolate-flavored greens powder designed specifically for kids, packed with 55-plus whole food ingredients to support brain power, development, and digestion. Just scoop, shake, and sip with milk or any non-dairy beverage for a delicious and nutritious boost your kids will actually enjoy. We've worked out a special deal with Hiya for their best-selling children's vitamin. Receive 50% off your first order. To claim the deal, you must go to hiyahealth.com/loveit. This deal is not available on their regular website. Go to Hiya Health, HEALTH, hiyahealth.com/loveit, LOVETT, and get your kids the full body nourishment they need to grow into healthy adults.
And we're back. Before we get to our final segment, think of all the things you could do with the time you won't spend listening to ads, learn Italian, organize your spice drawer, finally confront the void, or just enjoy uninterrupted Love It or Leave It. For the month of April, you can try ad-free episodes of Love It or Leave It with a 30-day free trial of Friends of the Pod. We're trying to build a media company here. When you subscribe, you'll unlock ad-free Pod Save America, Pod Save the World. You'll have our Discord community and exclusive content like Polar Coaster with the one, the only, you love him, Dan Pfeiffer. Pfeiffer, Pfeiffer, Pfeiffer. The subscription is the best way to support Crooked's mission of building a progressive media ecosystem. Subscribe by the end of April to receive 30-day free trial of Friends of the Pod. Crooked.com/friends or sign up through Apple Podcasts. 30-day trial ends on April 30th, so act fast. And also, we're launching... Pride merch. We have a Join or Die shirt. It's the classic Join or Die flag, but we've made it fucking gay as hell. You have one there? Oh, cool.
They're trying to separate the T from the LGB, and if they do that, we'll be SOL. I've used that joke before. So show your pride, grab a Join or Die t-shirt or a sticker from the Crooked store. The design is great. We have a great design team. Zevi did an amazing job with her team to do this. Head to crooked.com/store to shop. It's what our founding daddies would have wanted. All right. All right, please welcome back to the stage, Congressman Ro Khanna. Move my drink over. Right over here. Come on in. Welcome back. Good to see you.
They were great.
Yeah, they were good.
And more polite.
You were very polite. Yeah, they gave you shit. I knew what you meant. I took it. Everyone uses the same four phrases. And since all of us up here talk for a living, we're going to rip apart the one saying that irks us the most in a segment we're calling It's Giving Rant Wheel. Here's how it works. We're going to spin the wheel. When it lands on you, you're going to talk about one phrase that you're saying, we got to drop. We're not using it anymore. All right? Let's spin the wheel. Oh, or there was a couple on there. Congressman, what phrase are you ready to retire?
So I want to retire when politicians say bipartisan and common sense. Bipartisan and common sense got us NAFTA, got us the war in Iraq, got us the Patriot Act, and got us the disaster in Gaza. Time for that to go.
Wow. Take that. Take that. All right, they're gone. Bipartisan and common sense. Controversial. Let's spin it again.
Oh. Okay, I have two words. It's not going to be popular, but I have a point. I would like to retire authoritarianism and oligarchy because I think that's not how human beings speak. And I think we need different ways of describing what both of those things are. So I'd like to retire both of those words.
Huh. I see. There's some... that's interesting. But I see people... There's a debate about the word oligarchy as to whether or not it's a word everybody knows or whether it's highfalutin elite talk. But I'm in the oligarchy, so I don't know.
It's okay. As an outsider, as a person not in the oligarchy, maybe I am, I don't know, who knows. But
I, for one, am a man of the people.
Oligarchs don't admit they're in the oligarchy. My point is this, we should just say rich people with too much access to power. You know what I mean? That's it. It is an oligarchy, but I say we all know in this room, oligarchy, we use the words, right? But as we're inviting more people into the party and the operation here, I think we have to speak in normal speak.
Okay.
That's just my take. You can disagree. It's okay. This is a safe place of retiring phrases.
I'm just taking it in. I'm listening. I'm learning. I'm growing.
Well, you were shaking your head. So I was like, oh.
No, I was processing.
Okay, processing.
Now we're in a fight. Let's spin it again.
Oh, who's it going to be?
I know who's next.
It's like, it's racing for it.
You know a word I'm starting to hate? It's a word that we use as journalists a lot. Embroiled.
Oh, embroiled.
Okay. I got some of the booers back. I'm excited.
They're back on the track. Embroiled protectors. Exactly.
It doesn't mean anything. It's just, we're like, they're embroiled in a scandal. They're embroiled in a scandal. They're embroiled in this. There's embroiled. It's embroiled in the Pentagon. We're all embroiled enough. Move on. Figure out a different word. Be more creative. Our job is to use words. Find other words to describe it.
I think it's a really good point. I think there's certain words in journalism that basically, it's when you don't want to Google something because embroiled leaves a lot of ambiguity as to when it began,
correct,
when it will end, who's responsible.
It's very vague.
There's a lot of words like that.
How bad it is, it doesn't tell you how bad,
right,
it is.
Right. Other words like that are resurfaced and fueled.
Fueled
is fucking everywhere, and it's like, has fueled speculation. What? This is the speculation.
Exactly.
This is the fuel. The article about the fueling speculation is the speculation and the fuel for further speculation.
Something to think about. But I'm just a humble country oligarch.
Well, when you're an oligarch, you're going to protect the word.
I aspire to oligarchy, honestly. This is America. Anyone can grow up to be an oligarch. That's the American dream. One day you too could be riffed in the White House because you bought a meme coin. A lot to think about. Let's spin it one more time.
Oh, I was waiting like it was a mystery again.
Here's the word I would like to just retire from the Democratic lexicon. And it will sound as though I am directing it at one person, but I'm not. Distraction. No more talking about distractions. And there's too much overthinking about how to talk about politics. And it feels like it's trying to harken back to an era when politics was a debate taking place among 500 people, as opposed to a big fractious debate taking place among millions of people. Jen and I feel like we came up during politics at a time when you really wanted your politician on message, because if they strayed and said something interesting, the article wouldn't be about the one thing you wanted to talk about that day. And so you didn't want distractions. You didn't want to be off message. But now, you have to reach people and gain attention and be interesting across so many different media and so many different platforms. And whatever the story is that you're trying to drive, if you just say the same thing over and over again, you're building a beautiful cathedral of message that's empty. Nobody's inside. Nobody's going to see it. Nobody's going to know anything about what you're talking about. And so, especially when the media environment is so convoluted and when the midterm elections are 2 years away, we do not need to all collectively decide that because it's cost of living week or whatever the fuck, we're not going to talk about what's happening in our immigration system, or we're not going to talk about a Supreme Court case about LGBT fucking books, or whatever other issue we have all collectively decided isn't kitchen table, as if fags don't eat in the kitchen.
Can we get rid of kitchen table? I'd like to add kitchen table.
Yes.
Correct. Correct.
You know what? We can keep going. Here's some others.
Kitchen table.
Kitchen table issues. Here's another phrase, pocketbook issues.
Correct.
Pocketbook? My grandmother had a pocketbook.
What about women's issues? Women's issues?
Women's issues.
Women's issues. All those issues are the same? Women care about all the things?
Issues. Yeah. I think in the last 2 weeks, we've seen more and more polling about how people have shifted on immigration. And all of a sudden, what was a distraction 2 weeks ago is suddenly a salient and important way to make people understand what we as Democrats are willing to fight for. And a lot of people didn't know what that was, and a lot of people still don't. And I'd like to see us fighting, even if it might not be the issue that we'll be talking about in November of 2026. I think that's okay. Like, enough with distractions. That's what I wanted to say about that. And I think that's a great place to leave it. I want to thank Congressman Ro Khanna, thank you so much. I want to thank Jen Psaki, so awesome. I want to thank Eugene Daniels. Everybody, watch their show, support their show. We will see you next week at Dynasty Typewriter in LA. There are 556 days until the midterm elections. Have a great night and have a great weekend.
If you're already scrolling endlessly, which we know you are, don't forget to follow us at Crooked Media on Instagram, TikTok, and all the other ones for original content, community events, and more. You can also find Love It or Leave It on YouTube for videos of your favorite segments and other YouTube-exclusive content. And if you want to type our praises or rip us a new one, consider dropping us a review. Finally, you can join Crooked's Friends of the Pod subscription community for ad-free Love It or Leave It and Pod Save America episodes, subscriber-exclusive pods, and more. Sign up at crooked.com/friends. Love It or Leave It is a Crooked Media production. It is written and produced by me, John Lovett, and Lee Eisenberg. Kendra James is our executive producer. Bill McGrath is our producer. And Kennedy Hill is our associate producer. Hallie Kiefer is our head writer. Sarah Lazarus, Jocelyn Coffin, Peter Miller, Alan Pierre, and Will Miles are our writers. Jordan Cantor is our editor. Kyle Seglin and Charlotte Landis provide audio support. Stephen Colon is our audio engineer. Our theme song is written and performed by Shersher. Thanks to our designer, Sammy Kaderna-Rees, for creating and running all of our visuals, which you can't see because this is a podcast. And thanks to our digital producers, David Tolles, Claudia Shang, Mia Kelman, Delon Villanueva, and Rachel Gajewski, for filming and editing video each week. Our head of production is Matt DeGroat. Our head of programming is Madeline Herringer. And our production staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store and online. And now, the more you buy, the more you save on beds, bases, and more. Plus, get free home delivery on most beds with Base. Limited time. For JD Power 2025 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Check it out at a Sleep Number store today.